Scratched.
Hey everyone, it's Rick from Scratched. This week we take some time to discuss our favorite video games from long ago and other methods of entertainment as well. If you like the show or have suggestions for how we can make it better, or just want to join in on the discussion, you can always drop us a comment at scratched.net or on Facebook and Twitter at Scratched Podcast. Everything else you can find on blogtalkradio.com/scratched. So with that said, let's get started with episode 118, The Best Video Games Ever.
So I was thinking through the week, I think it was last episode or the episode before, you guys had said something about gaming.
Mm-hmm.
And Eloy was a little bit put off that I don't game.
Oh yes.
To the degree that some people do. And I was thinking, I got an email 3 days ago from Steam.
Okay.
My Steam account had been hacked.
Oh no.
Or something, or somebody, or not hacked, somebody had tried to log into it. You know how they send that email?
Oh,
saying,
yeah.
You know, somebody tried to, it was from like Indonesia or something.
Yeah.
So I got in there to change my password and I had to re-download Steam. It wouldn't let me do it without downloading it.
Right.
So I opened it up and I had forgot that I had bought Civilization.
Oh, right on.
5 or 6 years ago. And I was like hardcore into playing it back then. So I re-downloaded it and I've been playing it. I think I put like 8 hours into it over the last 3 days.
the very first one?
The third one.
Oh, Civ 3 is good. I love Civ 3. 5 sucked.
I played a 2 hour round and lost. 3 hour round and lost. I haven't won yet.
Oh man.
Since I started playing again.
Turn off.
I forgot how everything worked in it.
Turn off aggressive hordes.
I did their own roaming.
Play against one other person and set up a map if you can and put them on like you're on the bigger continent and put them on like an island. And you'll win every time.
Well, it ticks me off because I was running really good this last one.
Yeah.
And had a big navy build up and everything. And I was going to attack the person that was up upper left to the west of me.
Yeah.
And I had it all built up and was over there. And then, boom, I lost because some prick freaking started the United Nations.
Oh, so you got up to UN?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, so. Yeah. Those are the bummers, man.
Yeah.
I actually set it up one time because I got tired of getting my butt handed to me. I don't know. I don't know who Sid Meier's is, but he created one of the most difficult games ever to play. I really believe so, especially if you're doing multiplayer. Holy yeah. God. There are people that do this professionally. I swear to Christ, you know. So I got pissed one day and I said, I'm going to turn everything off. I'm going to make everything easy and I'm just going to see how far I can get. Well, because I had never made it to the end, I was like, finished, right? I mean, there really isn't anything you can do once you launch. And it says, oh, great, you've launched, and you can continue to play if you wish. And I went, okay, whatever, maybe there's more things to learn. And you just keep making stupid space station stuff over and over and over again. And I had already conquered everything. There weren't any more barbarian tribes, and there weren't any other tribes I could do. So it got really boring, you know? So there's, like, no sweet spot. There's no middle ground to that game. You either kick the piss out of everything that moves, or it tears you a new one, you know? Or you make it so stupid simple that you can't even enjoy it. But it's a fun game to play regardless. The whole Civilization series was really good, other than 5. I thought 5 was horrible, but yeah. 3 was...
I see they're only on 6 right now, aren't they?
I thought so. I don't know. I quit
watching.
That's
what I saw advertised on Steam as being new was Civ 6.
Civ 6. Okay. Wouldn't shock me. And, of course, there are a lot of clones out there, too, you know. I mean, Microsoft had one out for a long time, and I'm trying to remember the name of it now, but, of course, memory's failing me. But you literally start off in the Stone Age, and... You're building caves, or you're building, you know, grass huts and things like that, and you advance and advance and advance and advance, and it's not like you're dealing with cities per se. You've literally got a base that you're launching from, you know, and it eventually you start adding buildings to it and whatever. I wish to heck I could remember the name of that. Sherry and I used to play it all the time. But
see, I liked when, like, in the mid-90s or whatever, when Sim City first came out, I liked Sim City. I did not like when it turned into Sims. Like, all that crap that's on, like, the Xbox and stuff. That is just stupid.
Boy, everybody else did, though.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody loved The Sims. You know what I mean? I hate it.
Yeah, but Sim City had that little bit of a Civilization feel to it, kind of.
A little, yeah. Until the mayor, or until your riot started, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the whole city burns to the ground. You're like, whatever. Raise the tax rate to 99%. If we can't, whatever. It is a terrible thing.
Yeah, it's fun. They're fun. It's a fun game, though. You can get lost in it.
I played a Sims type or a Civilization one, but it was more like orcs. It was kind of like a D&D style Warcraft. One. I don't know if you guys remember.
Yeah, it's the original Warcraft, humans versus orcs.
Yeah, but it was more like a civil, like you would build your little township and try to. Oh, okay. Yeah. I forget what it was. It was such a long time ago.
Yeah, that was the original Warcraft before they turned it into the online MMO, whatever the hell it is. But yeah, no, that was humans versus orcs, and that was a hell of a lot of fun, too. You could build up a huge butt-ton of army and just go beat the piss out of something, you know?
But sometime in the 90s, I stopped, or at least like during the downfall of Nintendo, I stopped everything, Nintendo, comic books, and I just quit all that. It just happened naturally. I mean, we were into D&D, the gaming, and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, and the comic books, and all of a sudden, I don't remember what exactly, but it just became a thing where for the next 10 years or more, I didn't even mess around, you know, fart around with those things. It's weird. Have you guys been well, I know that Bitters says he doesn't really necessarily play, but have you guys like re-emerged with it, or is it something that you've always like done?
It's pretty much always been around for me. I started with the Atari. I take that back. The addiction started ages ago. My dad had a birthday. I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 years old at the time, something like that. And he got this knockoff version of Pong from Sears. And, oh, my God, we would just beat the piss out of that thing, you know. It was even gray, you know. And you didn't have buttons or anything. You just turned a knob, you know. From there, we went to the Atari 2600. And then somewhere along the way, I got hooked into, I think it was around the sixth grade or so, something like that. So that would have made it, I don't know, 82, 83, something like that. I got hooked into a Tandy machine, an old computer, you know, and you would literally plug that thing into your, this is how old I am. You would plug it into the back of your television and you would record your basic programs. And when I'm saying basic, I mean basic. Okay. The language, go to line 4, show red. Go to line 3, show green. Go to line 1. That's how you do a loop, and it would flash the screen. Red, green, red, green, red, green. We thought that was freaking wicked. But you couldn't save that stuff unless you plugged in a cassette recorder, and you would record to cassette tapes. Okay?
I remember that.
Yeah, right? So that was what I started programming with, and I guess the first time I tried hacking, we went into my buddy Scott's house and recorded this program that would flash, you know, but B-U-T-T, B-U-T-T, flash. And it was a very simple program. And we went into the Radio Shack at what was then North Valley Mall and figured out that we could plug that cassette tape into their program and play it and walk away. So 4 or 5 machines were flashing B-U-T-T across the screen intermittently, you know, and that we thought that was really funny, you know. This is before networking and all the other crap that's happening now, you know. But there was a couple of games that we played on that system once it started advancing, and it got a keyboard and all the other stuff. I think it was the movie, I think it was Big with Tom Hanks. It had a version of that game. and it was text based, and I can't remember. Zorg, I think, was the name of it.
But that was way later, right? That was like.
No, Zorg was like
later.
86, no, 87.
Big.
Oh, Big was way Big down was, the road. Yeah, Big was like 90 something, 96, 97, maybe. I don't know. Maybe was 92. It? I'll look. But that he was playing that game, and I remember going, "Oh my God, that's just like Zorg, right? What do you want? Ice Wizard shows up. What do you want to do?" And you type in, you know, kill wizard. What do you want to kill him with? A big fucking stick. I don't know. You know, something. You know. And it, if
but
if
I
it
remember
was,
Big though.
Yeah,
Big was good because it's a little kid that all of a sudden he's transformed into this adult body, and like as a little kid watching that movie. I mean, well, let's see what Rick says. What time? Because I remember that movie.
Wow. I was way off. It was 1988.
When was it?
1988. I guess my memory bank is a little screwed up.
Well, so he was an adult, and then like he had babes that would come up, and he's like a kid, and so he says, "You want to come over for a sleepover?" And the chick's like, "Yeah."
And he gives her the little ring from the quarter machine. Yeah.
Well, they're jumping up and down in the bed.
No, it was a trampoline.
Like, she goes...
Hit the trampoline in the front
room.
No. Because he had bunk beds.
Well... Oh, was it bunk beds?
Yeah.
Well, so she's trying to, like, you know, have a romantic thing. And he's, like, playing around. And I think at one point, like, she scores, right? And I don't know if that's true or not. I don't remember clearly, but I know that he was, like... He was like, why are you looking like that, dude?
It happened
later.
You
don't remember that?
No, it happened later at her place. The overnight stay, he was on the top bunk. She was on the bottom, and he lays there. He goes to bed, and she's laying there going, what the hell is this all about? And then he rolls over to the edge of the bed and hands her both hands. And she picks the one, and there's nothing in it. So she picks the other one, and there's like this decoder ring in there. The scoring happened later at her place. So.
Dude, all that counts is the scoring. That's all I'm getting at. Forget the decoder ring and the trampoline and the little dancing keys on the... Wasn't it... Didn't they go into a shop and he's playing on the...
It was a big toy
floor
store.
Key? Okay.
That he worked for.
That's right, that he worked for. But the whole thing is... Okay, the idea is that this little kid scores. And he's like, yee! After that, he was like, woo-hoo!
And as a little kid, you're sitting watching it thinking, oh, the possibilities.
Yeah. Well, I was probably like 14, 15 years old at that time. But
88? Yeah, you would have been about 14. Yeah.
Like 14?
Yeah.
So I was like 14 years old, right? And so that's an exciting thing, you know, to watch. I was like, well, lucky him. But then he wanted to go back, right? Because he was sad. But he can get all this this awesome action, and he's wanting to go back to childhood. Freaking insane.
Scratched. So your earliest video game recollection is Pong.
And that was like 75, 76 maybe.
And what's yours, Eloy?
My
first
earliest
video game you were ever exposed to.
I know it had to be something arcade based, but I remember the first system, which was Atari, the 2600. I remember that. And I remember, didn't the 2600 at one point have Commando?
No, that was 5200, I thought. That was the one that came after it. Let me look.
Because Commando later became part of the NES, but originally... they had Tank. You know what? Now, let me jog my memory.
Yeah, Tank came with it for free.
I remember Tank... and it was fun. And that joystick had a rubber on it, and then it had the whatever it was, the plastic underneath, but it had a rubber, and there was a certain grip to it, and then the red button, and it was a certain feel to it. It felt like you were playing arcades at home. It was a really good feeling.
Until the rubber thing came off. Or you chewed the end of it off, and that little white thing was sticking out through the top, you know.
Oh, that's right. You could chew on it. You could grab the tip of it and bite, and you could pull it off of its actual little thing inside.
Yeah, the
and
joystick.
And you could pull it. Yeah, I remember that. So all kids did that.
Oh, yeah. Mine was always full of bite marks. because I had oral fixation from way back. You are actually correct. I did not know this. Activision created the very first one for the Atari 2600. It was Commando, and it really looks like crap. It is absolutely horrible. Later on, it went on to the Commodore 64, and then the 7800, which I don't even remember the 7800 coming out, but it's showing initial release date right around 1985, something like that. So, but it's definitely 8-bit, I will tell you that. Might even be 4. Look at it, because it really looks bad.
And do you remember that one where you're a spaceship and you're running and you're flying through a mountainous area and
Defender.
You shoot Defender. That was so freaking awesome.
You had
back
to go down
then.
And pick up the dudes, and every now and again, if you didn't make it to the top, you'd have this string of dudes hanging off you, and if you didn't make it to the top in time, the aliens would blast the dudes hanging onto your ship. I always felt guilty. I felt really guilty about those guys dying. I still do to this day. I should
have saved
them.
Dude, but it was fun. It was fun waking up on a Saturday, knowing you had the freaking Atari, and then you sit there and you're playing, and it's like, it's a whole day experience, really.
It could be, easily.
And your friends would come over, you know, and just freaking play, dude, just play, just constantly. But the biggest slap in the face to reality was when the Nintendo came out. That was the biggest. It was such a whack in the face of everything that came before it, and I think I've told this story before, but did I tell it about a friend down the block, did I tell the story?
No, I did.
Ryan says
maybe you told me in another conversation.
This is the truth. He wasn't a friend. He was a kid that lived close by.
Oh, okay.
But word got around town that he had the first Nintendo in our block. And so I come across him. I was riding back and I said, "Hey, dude, you got Nintendo?" And he says, "Yeah, I got Nintendo. Oh, man, I'd love to see it." And he's like, "Okay, you can come over." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And then
I
come
no
over.
Friends.
And dude, I was blown away. And he popped in Mario Brothers. And I'm like, holy crap.
This is so bad.
Dude, it's like the dreams of a kid come to life. And so I'm like, but here's the thing. His mom was, and even back then, I was quite aware of the opposite sex. Like, I don't know, it was just some sort of fascination always for some reason. Call me crazy. Crazy. I'm crazy.
I think
crazy
I know where this is
going. And,
focus, Eli.
So she was wearing one of those silky nightgowns, dude.
I swear he's told this story before.
I think so, too, but I...
So you know that's the night that I became a man?
This is like a whole Stacy's mom kind of thing.
I feel like you're not telling this story for us and the audience. I feel like you're telling this story for yourself.
It sounded that way, too.
I'm remembering. I'm remembering. No, but dude, there was something oozing with sex. She was oozing.
If it's oozing, you need to get that looked at. Scratched.
At some point, we started renting movies. And that became a...
True.
That became a whole different thing at that point, because we had the ability to, I don't know, whatever. It was like $2 to rent a VCR movie.
I think that's...
Wow, back then?
Yeah, I think that's about right, but it was... Yeah, but that's not $2 today. That's $2 80s money.
Right, that's
what
I'm saying.
Which...
Why was it so expensive?
It was $2, but you'd keep it... I think you could keep it all week. Or 3 days. One of the two. 3 days or all week.
I remember it being a week. Now, this is before Blockbuster. There was no such thing as Blockbuster. You had little mom and pop stores.
Well, that's what I was saying,
because
when I was growing up, we had a little small rental store here, and I knew the guy that owned it. And I remember the exact price, because I rented so many movies and so many video games when I was little. It was $2.13. That's why when you said $2, I was like, wow, really? That's not... I mean, this was early 90s. So it's not too far off.
Well, not only that, though, that you like you said, we would rent video games, so you could rent the Nintendo games and try them out. All of a sudden, you didn't want to buy Nintendo games because you could rent them. And like, if you'd have some money, you'd rent them and you'd run home and try to play them and try to beat them before you had to return them.
Yeah, it was a great way to test out games too.
Yeah,
never did that. I just went out and grabbed them, but I waited until. By the time I got to a point where I could actually do that, I was actually full-time employed. So I had the income to come in, and I could go out and, you know, grab it. And if I didn't like it, I could take it to the store. Because then we had GameStops, and we could trade it, you know. And
no, but that game, wait a second, was. GameStop was EB way games. Later.
Yeah. EB Games, thank you. Yeah, that was the other one. But that's what I'm saying. There was the gap, right?
I have a funny story about video game rental, if you don't mind me butting in.
No,
go ahead.
I'm not going to name any names, but this kid. Amy. No, this. Remember, I told you I hung around with kids that were older than me. Well, this kid was probably 4 years older than me, and lived right across the street from me growing up. So that's going to give it away to anybody that listens. Wait, no one listens that I know.
Thank you for advertising, by the way.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah,
this was when Power Rangers was like a big thing, like. Right?
So never?
Right. I didn't watch it. Just
I hated the Power Rangers. I hated the Power Rangers.
Me as well.
With a passion.
But this kid rented the Power Rangers Sega game and brought it home, and I played it with him for a little bit, and he hated it. He couldn't get it past like the first level. He hated it. So he rips this thing out of the game system, straight up
console.
Out.
Yeah.
Drops his pants and wipes his butt with it. Just straight up the crack. Puts it back in the case, one of those clear plastic cases. Puts it back in, snaps it shut, wipes his butt with the case. Walks right up to the video store, takes it back.
That's gross.
That is the most disgusting thing ever.
Scratched.
You can't, you know, the reason I'm saying this is because Rick said something, I forgot he said something, but he said it in a very watered down way. And it clicked in my mind that I do that too nowadays in communication, and it's stupid.
Well, could you imagine standing in the schoolyard nowadays and yelling, "Let's play Smear the Queer"? Could you imagine yelling that now?
I never.
Wait a second. Trouble you would get in. Well, it was a game we played when we were a kid.
I never said that horrific statement. That's
overwhelming. What are you talking about?
Ever.
It's a game.
Never would we ever say that. That is, I'm actually going to edit that out.
You never ever really played Smear the Queer.
No,
you're kidding me.
That is terrible. As a matter of fact, I'm not even sure I want to continue this podcast with you right now. Let's just stop recording.
All right, stop.
Of course, we played it, for Christ's sake, Jesus.
But
Christ.
Did you imagine?
Did you see what
kids stand in the schoolyard nowadays? Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. Did you see what just happened though? And this is psychologically. Rick said, like, he played, what is it? He played
Devil's Advocate.
He played the Switcheroo Devil's Advocate.
Yeah.
And you were just saying, as a matter of fact, but then you said, "Oh, wait a second." It's like, you know, in your mind, you thought, "Wait a second." And I would do the same thing at this point in time. You said, "Oh, he's right," or he's serious about this. I think I've crossed the, and you backed off from those. This
no,
is
I
how,
thought you guys had never heard of it.
No, but Rick said, "No, we got to stop right now." Remember, let's be clear. He said, "No, we got to stop." That's
you reached to stop.
Huh? Yeah, you pressed the brakes. You said, "Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't go." I do it too. We all do. I mean, this is the new standard. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not pointing out you, but I'm saying that it shows an example that we are living in a different world, so totally different. But back then, it was like what you're saying, dude. I wanted to point that out, you know. I don't have a degree in psychology.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I'm winging it.
I don't even know how to bring this back now.
No,
I don't even know how to bring this back.
But wait a second. But why should we stifle our the words that may sound, you know, uncomfortable? But I mean, why? I mean, sure, you don't want to be amongst friends. Okay, for instance, amongst friends, amongst us, and our millions of people listening. You know, why should we stifle our words?
Clearly, you haven't looked at the stats.
I'm looking to the future.
It's funny, though, because we can sit around and say we hate that everything you say now offends everybody, but yet we still censor ourselves a little bit as far as sensitive subjects.
We're part of, you're right, because we're part. No,
to a degree,
we're part of the culture, right. And yes, we do, and it's kind of being instilled in us even at this frickin' stage in life, and we've moved along with history, but prior, these things weren't even considered. My folks were loving people, my dad was pretty, a straight shooter and very stern and stuff. But you'd hear the occasional, dude, they used to smoke cigarettes in the car with the windows rolled up. And there was a cloud, and you had the babies sitting in the back, and it was a cloud.
With no seatbelt.
With no seatbelts, dude.
I remember flopping around in the back of my mom and dad's big yellow station wagon when I was
off
the side of the walls in the back. Not even a seatbelt in it.
We took a trip to...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
We took a trip to... No, you're fine. We took a trip to see my grandmother. I think it was 1977 or 78. It had to be like 78, 79 maybe, because my grandfather passed in 77. Anyway, we rented this car. I think it was a Vega or some crap. I don't know. It was something, whatever. There was enough room for my sister to lay on the seat and me to lay on the dashboard in the back, And I could literally crawl, lay out all long out like that, you would never see that today. Cars are behind us and I'm waving to them and they're waving back,